Alright, let's go ahead and turn into your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 as we continue our look through this book and our vision for this year about sharing the truth of the Word of God. It's been an excellent book to be able to do that, because today we're actually going to start seeing how the Thessalonians are going to respond to the ministry that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had at that church. But it's in the midst of dealing with afflictions. It's one of the things I think I mentioned in this last week is when it comes to standing on the truth, being able to share the truth of the Word of God, you're going to run and come into all kinds of tribulations, sufferings, and so forth. I hate to be kind of like a bad spiritual weather news report today, but that is the reality of standing on truth in this world, and I think we see it even more so as we are in and starting 2021. Obviously, we had a tumultuous year last year, and things are continuing on that way, and so we're in some exciting times that we're in, and then the Word of God is not behind in the things that are going on today and lays out for us exactly the things that that we're seeing. And so it also prepares us for how do we deal with that as Christians and what we need to do, and continuing to need to understand and grow in our relationship with the Lord, understand the truth, and to be able to trust God to be able to share that with those around us. So as we talk about this year as far as preaching the Word, again, don't just have in mind that you have to be in front of a pulpit preaching in front of a whole group of people. Preaching the Word or sharing the Word is a matter of people that you have in your family, people that you have at your workplace, people in your community. I mean, if you have opportunity to be able to share your walk with the Lord, that's what we're focused on this year. Now, let me give you a little bit of an overview before we jump into what we're going to see today in verses 6 and 7. We started out really a couple of weeks ago and looking at what we are elected to do. It's kind of a good timing for that message as we just come through an election and getting ready to certify it at that time and have a new president of the United States coming in. But our focus should be spiritually what we are elected to, what God has elected us to do. And we saw that there are three things in verse 3 that we're supposed to have: a work of faith and a labor of love and patience of hope. Those three things are eternal things, eternal work that we will be rewarded for at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what God has elected for us to do. And then last week we saw as far as the conversation that we need to have in doing that. So one week we learned what we are supposed to do, and then last week we learned how we are supposed to do it. And we saw that by just looking at verse 5, where Paul says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." So dealing with that word conversation, remember, biblically, it deals with more than what you say, but what you do. It's your whole manner of life. And there's five different aspects that Paul says about the gospel, all right? It says that, again, in verse 5, "For our gospel came not to you in word only." But the Word of God is the foundation for that. But he goes on and says it was in power. We're talking about it being authorization, the authority, because, again, they had a life that matched the words that they were speaking. And then it says, going on, and says, "in the Holy Ghost." Again, understanding that the Holy Ghost is there to edify, to teach us, to build us up, and how, again, it wasn't dependent on Paul's ability, but the Holy Ghost working through him as well as Silas and Timothy. And then it says much assurance, because, again, we're in a day and age. If you're standing on truth, then there's going to be a lot of tribulations and things that are going to happen. The world is not for the things of God. And so you're going to go through some things, and it may be caused to have some doubts and that sort of thing, but they gave them much assurance, consolation in the truth of the Word of God. And then the last thing that it says in verse 5, it says, "as you know what manner of men we were for your sake." Again, it gets back to that conversation. They were the example of what it is to be a believer. Now, we're looking at today, verses 6 and 7, to where I have titled this message, "Submission to the Mission." And the reason why is that is because you really see what true biblical leadership is all about. In verse 6 and 7 it says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were an example to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." So Paul is commending the Thessalonians and showing that they followed them as they followed the Lord. In other words, Paul and Silas and Timothy, they were being the example of what it is, how to follow the Lord, and you see the Thessalonians submitting to that. They became followers of them and of the Lord, and in the midst of all the affliction and so forth. But then we'll see in verse 7 how they became examples. We'll explain what that word is all about. It's a word that we don't use today. Obviously, it's the same kind of word as example that we do use, but you notice that they became the leaders. the Thessalonians became the leaders in showing others in how to follow Christ. Well, how did that happen? They first submitted to Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and again, the things that they were preaching in the Word of God, and again, their life following or matching that. And again, before you ever can be a leader, you got to know how to follow. You got to learn how to follow. And so that's exactly what we have in verse 6. Our first point will be dealing with learning. And then, of course, in our second point in verse 7 will be leading. So let's have a quick word of prayer and we'll get started on what we need to see today out of these verses. Father in heaven, I thank you for the day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you are. Lord, I thank you for just working in our hearts and in our lives, bringing us to this point, and just each and every week as we've been in Thessalonians, it's like you've taught us so much, and I thank you for that. I look forward to what you have for us today. Lord, I pray that you work through me. You know, again, that it's not my opinion, that it's not me, not doing something in the flesh, Lord, that you'd be able to work through me to be able to get your word out, to work in everyone's heart, and accomplish a purpose that you intend. Lord, I just again thank you for this time and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's dig into this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Again, it says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord." All right, again, so from the get-go, you can see how important it is in how you lead. And again, I think if there's anything that we can probably all agree in this world is that the world is longing for good leadership. No matter what country you live in, I'm sure you're not going to find a group of people that 100% agree and like the leaders that are in their country. All right, I'm sure I can easily, safely say that. Doesn't matter what political slant you have or whatever. No country is going to probably have 100% of the people that you know that love their leaders, and we see that. We know that. We see it on TV. But the important thing about we're talking about biblical leadership is that you have to lead by example, and the example that you're giving is so important because people are watching you. It just comes to mind before we actually get into this. I remember I used to be involved in Boy Scouting growing up, and it was in 1985 that I accepted Jesus Christ. 1988 that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And then the following year, I came back out to camp, staff, and so forth. And there's opportunities I had to be able to share the Word of God. I had a Bible study going, and it was a very fruitful situation. But I remember some years later, there was another staffer that was out there that I had no idea that he became a Christian until later, that he was in the same church that I was in the church that Trish and I were in initially. It was a very large church, and so it could be easy to miss people, whatever. But I remember talking to him, and he said one of the things that influenced him was that he saw me at camp carrying my Bible. He never spoke to me. I never knew that until years later. But that was something that, I guess, influenced him as far as his, you know, coming to Christ, because he saw me carry my Bible everywhere I went, and I had no clue this guy was ever watching me. And so it really instilled in my mind at that time how important it is, the things that we say and do, because you never know who's watching and the kind of influence that you can be on somebody. And so when we talk about biblical leadership here, it says, verse 6, "For ye became followers of us and of the Lord." Why? Because the things that Paul, Silas, and Timothy, that how they were conducting themselves was according to the truth of the Word of God and following the Lord. They were showing the Thessalonians how to follow Christ. I want you to hold a bookmark there, and I want you to go back to the book of 1 Corinthians. So just a couple of books back or so. 1 Corinthians, I want you to look at chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're just going to read the first verse there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. And this is a command, really, that Paul has given to the Corinthians, because the Corinthians were getting off track. They were very carnal Christians, all right? They were saved. Paul helped start and establish that church, but they had other leaders coming in and getting them off course. And Paul simply says this in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Paul's telling the Corinthians that you need to follow me, but follow me even as I also am of Christ. So for Paul to have that boldness in making that statement means that he best makes sure that he himself is doing what? Following Christ. In other words, Corinthians, you have no, you don't have to follow me if I am not following Christ. If I'm not following Christ, by all means, do not follow me. All right, that'd be I'm going the wrong direction, doing the wrong thing. I don't want to lead you into that. All right? Leadership is so important. Again, I think we understand that today, the tone of leadership, what you do and what you say, people are looking to you, so we better make sure as Christians that we are following Christ to the best of our ability by applying the truth of the Word of God. But this is a command, obviously it's the Word of God, and that's exactly what you have. And that's why we have discipleship as well. As a disciple, we're showing people how to follow Christ. We're teaching them the basics of the Word of God, the foundation of the relationship with Christ, so they can continue to grow from that. It is no different than a parent raising their kids, or at least how parents should raise their kids. Be the example, because we all know that we're parents here. Kids pick up far more on what you do than what you say. All right? And so important. But I want to give you another reference before we move back to 1 Thessalonians, and that is Philippians chapter 4, something that we're familiar with because we just came through this book last year. I want you to look at Philippians chapter 4, and you'll probably already guess the verse 9, because it's another reference in dealing with Paul being the example of being able to follow Christ. And it's the same thing that we need to be doing today. If there's anything that this world needs to see, it is good biblical leadership. We're not just talking from the pastor or the deacon. We're talking from every believer can be a leader and an example of what it is to follow Christ. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, it says this, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." That's an awesome verse, especially understanding wanting to have peace in your life. Then we need to do the things that are laid out in the Word of God that Paul gives us the example and gives us our doctrine. Everything from Romans to Philemon is doctrine to us that we need to be following. But Paul said this, again, the things that you both learned and received, heard and seen in me. That gets back to his life. Right? Not just what he said, not just what he taught, but what he demonstrated by his life. Those things that you learned, received, heard, and seen in me, one word command, do. Do it. And it's like, and if you do that, then you're going to have a God of peace being with you. That's important. Especially no matter the, as we're going to get ready to get into, the afflictions and struggles that we are just going to face. One, just being a human being on this planet. Two, if we're seeking the Lord and trying to grow in our relationship, there are going to be afflictions that come our way, and we need to have the peace of God to help us in that. So what we need to do is not shy away from the truth, but stand on truth and be the example of it, no matter how crazy the world gets. That's not an excuse to say, well, it's understandable, we can just do whatever we want and do like the world. No, no matter how crazy it gets, in 2021, what do we need to be doing as Christians? Be the example. Be the salt. Be the light. This is what it is and how to follow the Lord. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and still in verse 6. The things that the Thessalonians were learning. Paul says this, "And ye became followers of us because of their manner of life, because of how they laid out the gospel in verse 5. The result was, the Thessalonians became followers of us and of the Lord." Now notice this next phrase. "Having received the word in much affliction." When Paul, Silas, and Timothy came to Thessalonica, the city that they were in, it wasn't a nice, calm time. Very tumultuous. Because there are people that didn't want to hear the gospel. They didn't want to hear the truth. And they did what they can to try to shut the truth out. But there were still Thessalonians or Thessalonians that received the truth of the Word of God. They became followers even in the midst of that affliction. Now, what does that sound like? A time where people don't want to hear the truth? When there's uproars and protests because people are sharing the truth and trying to shut it down? Geez, what does that sound like to me? Go back to Acts chapter 17. Just don't take my word for it. Let's see what the Word of God says. Acts chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 1. This is what we call Paul's second missionary journey. Again, this is where Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they are in Thessalonica. And I want to give you the exact account of what happens when they're are in this city. We're going to read down through verse 10, more of a lengthy cross-reference, but it's important to get the whole thing that's going on here because it is so reminiscent, let's say, of the things that we're seeing today in our own country. All right, that's what I love about God's Word. No matter the time period, no matter what, it is applicable for us today. And that's why I really try to get with God and say, hey, what do we need to go through this year? What is a book that we need to study through? Because I know that God knows what's going to be taking place in our life. And it's not an accident that we're, again, at this reference, at this message, at this time in the state of our country. Notice Acts chapter 17. Starting in verse 1, it says this. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. So Paul is what? He's preaching and teaching the Word of God. He's spreading the truth. He's preaching the Word. He's opening a legend. He did it for 3 weeks in a row. Notice the results of that in verse 4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the basest sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and insulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. I'm going to stop there. Did you hear what verse 5 says? Does it not sound like the things that we've seen on TV this last year and still this week? Even groups, it doesn't matter who's the president, they're still rioting and tearing up stuff. This is nothing new that is going on in 2020 and 2021 in our country that has not gone on for a long time. And the issue is dealing with the truth. These people here in Acts 17, the Jews that didn't believe, what was the problem? They didn't want to hear the truth. They did not want to hear the truth propagated. They wanted to shut the truth down. Verse 6. He goes on and it says in verse 6, and when they found them not, far as Paul and Silas, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city. Bring them to the government. Bring them to the court. Crying. Notice this. This is a great testimony, actually. These that have turned the world upside down, I come hither also. Let's pause there for a second. That was the testimony that the non-believers had for the believers. They are turning our world upside down. And what are they teaching? What are they preaching? They're preaching truth. The issue is, they're not turning the world upside down. They're trying to turn the world upside right. And those who didn't believe didn't like it, and they want to shut them down. Interesting. Interesting. If you ever doubt that the Word of God is the Word of God, can you not see this? That something that was written hundreds of years ago still applied to us today, January 24th, 2021, in the good old United States of America. Is it any different than what we're seeing? No. So what do we need to do with this? Okay? And it goes on in verse 7, it says, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. They're preaching something that's against the government, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Oh no, well, we can't have this happening. Somebody speaking against the government? Blows my mind. Blows my mind. Verse 9 and 10. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let him go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Guess what? I'm doing the same thing that they did in Thessalonica. I'm going to share the truth of the Word of God. No matter the affliction, no matter the uproar that they just came out of, still going to preach the Word. So the Thessalonians, they received the word in much affliction. I want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians. So it wasn't just a calm night time when Paul, Silas, and Timothy came to town to preach the gospel. It was in the midst of a lot of affliction that was going on, and they did not let that affliction stop them. Paul makes reference to it later. We'll see it later this year, but I want you to get a sneak peek right now. If you go over to that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I want you to look down in verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 3. It says, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Again, we'll deal with this in some detail in the context of what is taking place here, but just understand, as believers in Christ, we are appointed unto afflictions. We're going to go through some tough times. And it's going to come from wherever. I mean, whether it's even our own family, whether it's at work, whether it's in a neighborhood, whether it's the government, whatever the case is, we're going to go through afflictions, and we have been appointed unto afflictions. And God uses those afflictions, and we'll talk about that more when we get to this passage later in the year. But just understand that this is not something that should be a foreign concept to us. If you're standing on truth, you want to grow your relationship with the Lord, you're going to go through afflictions. We are going to go through tribulation. It is something that is, as they say, par for the course. It should not be something that catches us off guard. But God gives us the power and the ability to deal with these afflictions. I want to give you one more reference before we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to look down in verses 7 and 8. So travel a little bit more to the right from 1 Thessalonians, and we'll get to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want you to look down in verses 7 and 8. It's very important to understand, because a lot of times, we think about, you know, afflictions and trials and tribulations. I've said it before. I don't think there's any one of us that got up today and it's like, Lord, give me some affliction. Bring it up. I want some tribulation. Lord, I want the tires to fall off my vehicle when I go to church so I can go through that. Nobody prays anything like that, I don't think. If you do, then I may not want you praying for me if that's how you pray. You know, I mean, it just we don't do that. But God gives us the power and ability to help us through these things. A lot of times when I go to work and it's like my first prayer, my thought is like, okay, Lord, just have everything be a smooth night. Just have everything be nice and calm. And it's like, I literally prayed that one night, not too long ago, and as I'm walking around the facility, I hear a hit and run accident. It's like, well, thanks, God. Thank you for answering that prayer about keeping everything nice and smooth. Now I've got a hit-and-run accident to deal with. Lord, help me. Just give me the grace, give me the mercy, give me the ability to handle whatever may happen tonight. That's more of a, probably the correct prayer to be praying. And here's the thing. It's because God gives us that power to deal with the afflictions. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 and 8, it says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Grammatically speaking, we're talking we have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. I mean, that sound mind means that we're sober thinking. We have the ability to think through things, to disregard the emotions, that we just think through biblically how we need to deal with this. And in verse 8, it goes on and says, be not thou therefore. Because we have a spirit of power, because we have a spirit of love, because we have a spirit of a sound mind, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, Paul, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. God gives us the power to be able to deal with the afflictions. And we know, and we'll see it throughout this year, that going through the afflictions is going to yield such an eternal weight of glory and being able to rule and reign with Christ. There is reward for the sufferings that we go through in standing for Christ. God just is not going to have us to suffer and have afflictions with no outcome, no reason, no purpose. There's a lot of purpose in those things. A lot of times we draw closer to God and depend on Him, or at least we should, as we're going through afflictions and we're going through the tribulations. But as we do that, standing on His truth, standing on the Word, then there's a day coming when we'll be rewarded for that. But what we need to understand right now is that God gives us the power to deal with that. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but the first thing He says, what? A spirit of what? Power. That's the first thing He says in verse 7. And of love and of a sound mind. And then He says that we're able to deal with these afflictions according to what? The power of God. It's like a bookend. Power on one side, power on the other. We are wrapped in God's power to be able to deal with whatever affliction, trial, and tribulation that comes our way. Now, I know at times it may seem tough. You may be going through it and it's like, Lord, how can I deal with this? As it is said, I didn't have mind to go to this reference, but just write it down. 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 10 and verse 13. We're talking about God is not going to put us through something more than what we're able to handle. All right? And that He is faithful in all that. That's not a quote, that's just a paraphrase of it, but 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, that God is faithful and He's not going to put us through anything. He's always going to make a way of escape that we're able to bear. God gives us the power to deal with whatever affliction that is going to come our way. He's the one that has that power. He's the one that has that peace that passes all understanding. Let's get back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Still something else that we need to pick up here in verse 6. The things that the Thessalonians learned from the leadership, from the example of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. In verse 6 again it says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction," notice this, "with joy of the Holy Ghost." That almost seems like a contradiction right there in the same verse. Going through the afflictions with joy of the Holy Ghost? What's joyous about going through affliction? And a lot of times we have the idea of thinking and equating that joy is happiness. And it's not the same. You know, I got to tell you that I'm not necessarily happy having worked all last night and then I have church and then all of a sudden I am here and I can forget about the Chiefs game. I got to sleep because I got to go back to work tonight. All right? So I am not necessarily happy about the schedule that I have this week. It's something that I have to deal with every other week. But I have joy in doing this. Because I know that no matter how tired I am and whatever I have to deal with at work, I have no idea what I'm going to have to deal with again at work tonight, but in between, I get to spend time doing what I love to do, preach and teach the Word of God, and I am so happy that God has given me the privilege to do this, and I find joy even though that I may be tired, because when I'm up here preaching, I don't necessarily feel the tiredness. When I'm teaching, I don't necessarily feel the tiredness. I don't. I'm having a good time. Now I'll probably crash once I'm done. So don't just realize that once I'm done preaching, I'm probably going to fall asleep right here in the pulpit. But right at the moment, I have joy in doing what I'm doing. All right? And so that's the difference. And so it may not be happy, it may not be pleasurable, but in Christ and through His Word and knowing that God has the power to help us through whatever affliction, we can have joy in the midst of the affliction. And the Holy Ghost is the one that is the power source behind that. All right, because it says there in verse 6 there, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, with joy of the Holy Ghost. When you accepted Jesus Christ, your first Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, sealed you, indwelled you. All right? You have God Himself walking around in you, and He's able to give you the joy in the midst of the affliction. Now, I want to share a verse with you that is so important with this, and one of my devotions, my wife had this this week, and she didn't realize this, but she used a reference that I'm going to have you go to now. I want you to go back to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. This is such an incredible verse in what it says in dealing with having the joy and having peace in your life, no matter the afflictions that you go through. But there's such a key to this verse for this to be real in our life. In Romans chapter 15, I want you to look down in verse 13. It says this, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." There we go again. The power of the Holy Ghost to help us deal with the afflictions. But I want you to look at verse 13 again, because there's a key prepositional phrase that's in the middle of this verse that we need to do if we're able to experience this joy and this peace that's given by the power of the Holy Ghost in us. Let's look at it again. Verse 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with hope," or "fill you with all joy and peace in believing."
if you want God, the God of hope, to fill you with not some, not most, not the majority, but with all joy and all peace, and to have that abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost, if you want that to happen, what do you need to do? It's in believing. If we don't believe the truth of the Word of God, it's not going to be effective for you. That's something that I will harp on a lot when we get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Because the Word of God is only going to be effectually working in your life if you believe it. You want all joy, you want all peace in the midst of your life as you're sharing the truth of the Word of God and going through the afflictions of this world because you're standing on truth. You got to believe. Faith. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. God will even give you the faith to believe, but what you need to do is open up your heart, open up the book. You've got to believe it. Most powerful book in the universe throughout all time, and it will do you absolutely no good if you don't believe it. Have that joy and peace. But you got to believe. You got to believe. So many people are struggling in the world today and have so many issues and so many problems and don't have, beginning to have the hope to have to be able to deal with it and know how to deal with it. And, you know, they're going to be, when you're sharing the truth with them, it's like, hey, it's right here. Here's where the hope is. This is what's going to help your relationship with the Lord through His Word and through prayer. That's what's going to help you in this situation. But then they just negate it. They don't want to deal with it. And thus they effectively shut off the most powerful book that man has ever known or ever will know. It has the answers to everything. No matter what you're going through, no matter the time period, it has the answers. I hope you've seen already enough in the circumstances that the Thessalonians received the Word of God. All the turmoil in Acts chapter 17, all the people that wanted to shut down the truth, the lewd and baser sort. I mean, these unbelieving Jews got the worst of the worst of society to afflict those that believe. And for anybody hearing this message and can't see that we're living in the very same thing today, I don't have to stretch to make this up. I don't. You guys know it. Turn on the TV. You know the uproar that we've been going through. But what do we need to be doing as Christians? Share the truth. Preach the Word. We need to do it even more so because of the time that we're in. The more they're telling us, the world is telling us to sit down and shut up, the more that we need to stand up and speak up. Because this is the only thing that's going to change people's lives. It's right here. And there is a point in time, and probably coming real soon, that the Lord's going to say, you know what? I am done with the church age. It's time to get my body, my bride, out of here. And then where will the world be? Oh, it's going to be in you think it's bad now. Understand what the Bible says about the coming tribulation period. But until that time, until God calls us home, whether it be by death or rapture, we need to stand up and speak the truth in the face of affliction, because the Word of God tells me that God is going to give me the power to be able to deal with that affliction. And there'll be a day coming at the judgment seat of Christ that I can be rewarded for. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. These are the things that the Thessalonians were learning from the biblical leadership and example of Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And because they were willing to submit themselves to the mission, willing to humble themselves to be able to follow biblical leadership. Again, you don't follow somebody that's not following the Lord. I made that very clear, all right? But they themselves became leaders. Let's look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, down in verse 7. I'll read from verse 6 again. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. All right? And when we get back to this in a couple of weeks, we'll just cover verse 8 and we'll see how they were, again, spreading the truth of the Word of God, our vision for this year. But and again, in verse 7, that they were in samples. Now, what is that word in sample? I said in the beginning that it's like the word example. We don't use the word in sample with an S
anymore in our language today, usually. But we have the word example. And really, those words are in the same in what they mean. It's about being a mold or a print, all right? So with Paul, Titus, and Timothy being an example or an ensample to the Thessalonians, they themselves followed that same mold. That what they learned and what they've seen of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they turned around and did that themselves, and they became ensamples or examples to others. I've read some in dealing with this word ensample, this, you know, again, an archaic English word, that it simply could be like the plural of the word example. Like example deals with one person, all right, like Trish is an example of being a nurse. All right, as opposed to I said that Faith Bible Church is an example, because it's more than one, of being believers in Christ. All right, so that is maybe the definition of the difference between the two. And the majority of the times in the Word of God, you see it used that way in that context, but it's not all the time. So that's why I'll caution you with that. But whether you use example or ensample, the whole idea is that you're being a print. You're being a mold. You're showing exactly someone how to do whatever it is. If I'm being an example of a karate instructor and I teach my students how to themselves to turn around and share karate and to be able to teach karate someday, I'm going to model that before them. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to show them. I'm going to mold them. I'm going to be the example of what they need to do to be able to carry that on. If I'm going to be a biblical parent, my wife and I, we got to try to be the example. I mean, obviously, our son's an adult now and out of the house, but it's like when he was younger to try to be an example of what it is to follow Christ and to be able to follow the Word of God to show that for him so that he can turn around and do the same. And I won't know how great of a job that we did until my son gets married someday and has children of his own and see how he raises them. If we did a good job, then that same print and mold, and hopefully even better, of course, will take place. Well, as believers in Christ, that's what we need to do. As we follow, as we submit to follow biblical leadership, we need to grow to the place that we are the samples, the examples. I want you to go back to the book that we covered last year again, and that's Philippians. I want you to turn to chapter 3 this time. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look down in verse 17. Philippians chapter 3, down in verse 17, we're going to read to verse 20. Again, this is review, but it's that same thing in talking about biblical leadership, following a good example, being a good example. And that's what you see with Paul laying out to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 17, it says this, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." So Paul is saying, hey, follow me, just like we've seen before, but also mark them that are doing the same, that they're being a good ensample. All right? But then he goes on and gives a warning in verse 18. It says, "For many walk," and if you were here, if you remember this message, we're not talking about lost people and what he's getting ready to say in verse 18. He's talking about believers in Christ that are not doing what they're supposed to do. It says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Yes, we're talking about believers that come to the place where they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You might be surprised at how many atheists they accepted Christ. They would refuse to say that, "Well, I didn't know what I was doing then." But you'll be amazed at how many atheists used to be believers in Christ. Now, I say that, I don't want to get into all the different doctrines, but once you're saved, you're always saved. You're eternally secure, no matter what and how you live your life. But if you deal with some atheists, you'll be surprised. And you know what? You know what also is a tragedy? Side note here. Some of the atheists that I've dealt with have know the Bible better than Christians. That shouldn't be. It just shouldn't be. But anyhow, Paul says, they become the enemies of the cross of Christ, and it's causing him to weep. And he goes in verse 19, it says, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, their flesh, whatever they do to feed themselves, and whose glory is in their shame." Why? Because they who mind earthly things. Christians get to the place where they're just focused on the things of this world, and so the things of God, and they end up becoming the enemies of the cross of Christ. Instead of being able to share the truth, to share the gospel, they become an enemy of it. They're turning people away from it by their life. But in verse 20, it says this, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Again, being the example or the ensample. I want to give you another reference before we finish up today, and that's going all the way back to 1 Timothy, so past 1 Thessalonians. And I want you to go 1, 2 Thessalonians, and you have 1 Timothy. And I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I want you to look down in verses 12 and 13. This is a letter that Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, a pastor of the church of Ephesus. And again, Timothy was a young man, and he was in a place that was difficult to pastor. Ephesus had a lot of spiritual warfare going on. Take some time. I think it's a rainy day that's coming up or whatever. If you got the time, read Acts chapter 19, and you'll see all the kind of spiritual warfare that was going on in Ephesus. Well, young Timothy was a pastor of a church in that city with all that going on. And so Paul is telling Timothy this. Okay, we're in, again, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. It says this: "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Six different things to be the example of a believer. Verse 13, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Read the word, share the word, give out, lay out doctrine, what we're going to be held accountable for at the judgment seat of Christ. Timothy, I need you to be an example of that. This is a great passage that deals with the difference between ensamples, talking about plural, more than one person being an example, but Paul is specifically talking to one person, Timothy here. Be the example, and to be the example in these six different areas. And the first thing that he says is what? Word. Word of God. I say it so many times, I say it often, I'll probably say it until my dying day or the rapture. The problem with Christianity today is that people do not put the importance on the Word of God. Go through all kinds of problems. Oh, I'm praying, but it seems like things are not turning around. Well, are you listening to God? How can you listen to God if you don't open up His Word? That's how He communicates to us. You're being a one-sided conversation. God this, God that, God, and God's like, when do I get to speak? Have you ever had a conversation or tried to have a conversation with somebody that never lets you speak? They just keep on going and going and going. Have you ever had that? Am I the only one that's ever had that experience? Have you ever had that experience? You know how frustrating it is? I think about God in heaven. Okay, I hear you. But if you... Okay. But just, why don't we just take the time and let God speak to us? Timothy, I need you to be an example. I need you to be an example of the believers in the Word. Spend time in the Word. Live the Word. Like our character of Ezra that we started out this year with. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. That is the perfect pattern of what we need to be doing today. Preparing our hearts to do what? Seek the Word. Spend time in the Word of God. And then live the Word of God. And that's why the second thing that Paul tells Timothy, "Hey, Timothy, I need you to be an example of the believers in word." And the next thing he says, what? In conversation. Remember that word that we've been defining? That it's your manner of life. It's not just what you say, it's what you do. You can't be an example in conversation if you're not going to be an example in word first. There's no way. How can you live something if you don't know what to live? One of my pet peeves, if I have a job, I'm in a new job, and if I am not trained in how to do that job, and then I turn around and get in trouble, but nobody told me how to, that was a thing, that's a pet peeve of mine. Now, that's on me. Well, if I've been trained and taught that, and I mess it up, and then that's on me. But it gets frustrating if I get in trouble for something that I was never trained on. All right, and so that's why my role as a pastor, as a leader, is I want to make sure that I give everyone every opportunity to learn the Word of God, to know what the Word of God says, so that you can be an example in word and in conversation. And again, it starts with me first. And he goes on with the other things. Again, I don't want to necessarily preach this cross-reference. But folks, if there's anything that this world needs today, it's good biblical leadership. Again, not just from the pastor, the deacon, the preacher, whatever. From every believer in Christ. be willing to submit to the truth of the Word of God. Submit to the mission. This is the mission that we have. Spread the truth. Spread the Word of God. It doesn't matter if the world says, sit down, shut up. It doesn't matter if, I am thankful for every week that I'm able to do Facebook Live. But there may come a time where it's like, you know what? When Charles Boyce is preaching, is not in line with the standards of Facebook or whatever, and we're not going to do that anymore. That would be a tragedy. There's a lot of people that listen online. You never know. But I'm not going to change the message. I'm not going to change the truth. Still stand the truth, no matter how crazy this world gets, no matter how upside down this world is. Still got to teach and preach the truth. And that is the same thing for all of us as believers in Christ. There are people in your family, there's people at your work, there's people in your community, there's people that need the truth more than ever, and we need to be the example of the living Word of God. As we spend the time in the Word, that we apply what we understand and what we know in the Word of God, and be willing to share what we understand and what we know in the Word of God. Remember, don't let Satan stop and hinder you. Don't let your flesh stop and hinder you by these little lies. I haven't been saved long enough. Look at your life and what you've done in the past. There's no way God can use you. You don't know enough. Hey, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to talk about you. Do not let these things stop you, because they're just lies from the pit of hell. Continue to stand on truth. Do it in meekness. Do it with humility. You know, again, let's not be hypocritical. Let's make sure that what we're preaching and teaching is what we're living. But continue to share the truth, no matter how crazy this world gets. Remember, God gives you the power to deal with all the trials and all the afflictions that all arise from standing on truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you. And I praise you for the day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for, again, just it's such a privilege and honor to be able to stand here with my really church family, friends, to be able to share the truth of the Word of God. And I pray that something was said today that will help them along in their walk with the Lord. Father, help us to be examples. Help us to be examples of the believers. And the Word, and conversation, and in charity, in spirit, faith, and purity, all those things that, until you come, that we give ourselves attendance to your Word, and to exhortation, and to doctrine, Lord. It's so important that our relationship is bound with your Word. That's what's going to give us the joy and the peace in believing your Word. Lord, help us to be students of it. Help us to apply it to our lives. And then, Lord, we trust you for open doors to be able to share it. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.